welcome to season 3 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Pilates teacher of over 23 years. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain, to feel good, relaxation, positive affirmation, and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. For more relaxation, stretching, core stability, back strength, and happiness. So, April J. Harris, thank you so much for coming on today's podcast.
Thank you for having me, Bev. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's just really great. So I thought before we start getting chatting all about you, your journey, your Pilates journey, your blogging journey, I'm going to give the official bio for you. So April J. Harris, here you are, is an award-winning lifestyle blogger living in the south of England, who launched her first website in 2002, one of the UK's first lifestyle bloggers. April helps her followers get the most out of life at home and away with delicious recipes, ideas to help them make the most out of their homes, travel stories and tips, inspiration to help them embrace their own unique style. April and her husband live on the edge of the beautiful Berkshire countryside in the south of England. She is a Pilates and fitness enthusiast, a keen reader and a huge fan of all things motoring. So April, this is just so lovely to have you here. So we're going to get talking all about all of this. So where should we start today? So I thought we'd start with your Pilates journey, actually. So what was the reason you kind of got into the Pilates exercise thing?
I was just really curious. I've actually been doing Pilates for almost 25 years now. And where we lived, we belonged to a fitness club and they were offering mat Pilates classes. And I thought, oh, I'd like to see what this is all about. And I went along and really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And how has it helped you? How has it helped you? Because you said you've done reformer and mat work classes. How has it helped you and your body, your mind and everything?
It's been really interesting because it's quite a journey having done it for so long. And obviously that kind of a journey has taken me through a lot of the different phases in my life. So originally it was just for fitness, but as I've moved forward, the strength training has really helped with it in terms of, you know, when you're using the reformer, you're doing it slightly differently, but even the mat work involves a lot of strength. And I've found that it's not only enhanced the other fitness things that I do, but it also helps me to be fitter and stronger on the whole. And as I get older, it helps with mobility and stamina. So it's just kind of a wonderful package. It's a real support.
Yeah, thank you. And I think it's really important for people to think about that, you know, Pilates isn't something that people only do when they've got an ache, a pain, a back problem. You know, you're a real role model of actually, I'm doing this to look after myself, do this regularly, which is fantastic.
I absolutely agree. I think the trouble is there's such a tendency to want to, you know, I have a problem, I have an ache, I have a pain, I need to put a plaster on it. And actually, if you do something like Pilates throughout and you do it consistently, I think you find that you don't necessarily get into as many aches or pains to start with. And when you do, it's much easier to move on from them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And do you want to just share a little bit more about you personally? And then I thought we'd talk about any major stresses that have happened as well.
So I live, as the bio said, I live with my husband in the south of England. I have a grown-up son who's 29. I originally came from Canada, but I've lived in England for about 33 years now. I just love to travel and experience life. I have the benefit of being able to do quite a lot of that. So it's quite good fun. I love food and family and cooking. So I just really like to just really enjoy life and enjoy the adventure of the everyday. I think that there's a tendency for people to think that adventure has to be, you know, climbing the Pyrenees, but it doesn't. Adventure can be something as simple as a really lovely picnic or going somewhere that you've always wanted to go. You can find the adventure in the everyday. In terms of major stresses in my life, I mean, I think we all have major stresses. And when you get to, you know, being in your 50s, there's been a few. And I think they make you stronger on the whole. One of the ones that was most pivotal for me, one of the things that has caused me to grow more than anything else, was dealing with the loss of my parents 6 weeks apart back in 2007 and 2008. And at the time, we were also in the process. My husband had taken a new role. We were moving down to London from Derby. We'd lived in London years before, but we were coming back. There was an awful lot going on. It was a very difficult year in 2007. I lost other people in my life as well. So dealing with the grief from that is probably one of the biggest challenges I've ever faced.
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry to hear this. And was it your mum that inspired you with the blogging or the cooking? Or you obviously, I get the impression you were very close to your mum.
I was very close to my mum. I was very close to my dad as well, I think, in different ways. I mean,
only from what I've read, I mean.
Yeah, they both inspired me in so many different ways. My dad inspired me in the sense that when my mum got older and started to have trouble doing things, he took over all the cooking. So I actually have both their recipes, and I have recipes from people I don't even know from my family, and also people who I knew and love. So that, yes, that is a big part. I'm very passionate about food and cooking. But I think that the blogging actually came out of something else entirely. The blogging was when I decided it was economically not viable for me to go back to work after we had our son. And I decided that I would be a stay-at-home mom, and I really enjoyed it. I loved it. And I was lucky enough to be able to do it. It involved some sacrifice, but we did it and I loved it. And I had a lot of criticism and a lot of negativity around that. And a lot of people who were like, well, what do you do all day? You must be bored. And out of that frustration, because I've always been a writer, I thought, well, let's create something out of this. Let's make something good out of this. So I started to write a series of essays around being a housewife, a stay-at-home mom at that time. And that became the first website, which was the 21st Century Housewife. But of course, over the years, I've evolved, it's evolved. And 20 years is a long time. My son grew up, everything. So it's evolved into a lifestyle website, and I cover a lot more topics, but I still support my core readers, some of whom are still with me, who chose that path in life.
Yeah. And with your blog, have you got favorite things you like to write about, or you just love writing? I get the impression you love writing about it all.
I love writing in general. I think for me, I love writing around travel and the personal side of travel, and that this is what I've done, or this is what's been recommended to me, so that I really know that I'm sharing things with my readers that are going to be useful and that actually work. And I go back and update content as well, which is creating a lot of work at the moment, because obviously some of my travel posts are a couple of years out of date. So I'm updating those as we go along, and that's quite good fun. I love to write about food and family. I love to write about creating that sense of belonging and creating a home. I mean, a home and a family, you can create a home for one person or for 21 people. I love that idea as well. And I think too, the self-development side of things, that really feeling at home in your own life and really getting the most out of life and feeling comfortable with yourself. And I think it's not, you know, we all struggle with that from time to time. And if I can share my experience and the experience of others to benefit people, it really makes me happy.
Oh, and you help a lot of people on your blog every month. You said you to your apriljharris.com website. How many people are currently going to your blog? Obviously, it's growing all the time.
I get an average of about 30,000 individual visits a month. So it does grow, it changes. At Christmas, it goes up exponentially because everyone's after the recipes. But on average, it's about 30,000 individual visits a month.
Yeah, and with the cooking side, you do everything from all sorts of, a whole array of recipes that you even have, you know, cater for those who are celiacs, like gluten-free as well.
I'm trying to do more and more gluten-free recipes. I like my recipes to be inclusive. I like there to be an option so that people can enjoy it. I mean, obviously, there's some recipes that people just won't make because it doesn't necessarily fit into their diet. But I do try to cover all things. I share what we eat and what I serve and what my family experiences. But I'm very interested in the gluten-free side of things. And I've worked with a blogger in the US, Sandy of Fearless Dining, and she is celiac herself and has just an amazing repertoire, and she's taught me so much, and I've been really lucky to visit with her and cook in her kitchen. And so I've been able to take what I've learned from Sandy and adapt some of my own recipes, and I'm slowly working on doing that, and also looking at recipes and realizing that some of them are just naturally gluten-free, and highlighting that so that people realize.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different either food intolerances, or obviously celiac disease is a different thing to obviously allergy thing. I have celiac, so I'm obviously excited when I see something of yours that's gluten. Oh, it's a gluten-free recipe on your blog today. I'm like, yeah. You know, so it's nice that you are catering for so many. And like, some of your blogs are like, how if you're traveling, you know, people are starting to be able to travel more now. If you're traveling, or even it just be see friends and family for a night, you know, that you can still exercise while you're there. So you've got like blogs like, you know, how can you still, you know, exercise if you're going away, and how you do that. So that's really good as well.
Thank you. I love to help people to really get the most out of life. I mean, what my strap line, I really do mean what I say. I want people to get the most out of life at home and away. And I think there are so many ways we can adapt things so that we can, you know, stick to our fitness goals and support our bodies as we do things. Because if you don't support your body, it's very hard to enjoy your life.
Yeah, it's very, very true. It's very true. And do you have any sort of self-care morning routine?
I would love to say that I have a set routine, but our life is, it's very exciting and interesting, and it seems like every day is different. But for me, I love to take a walk first thing in the morning if I can. I try to be gentle with myself. If I can't fit it in first thing in the morning, I try to make sure I do it every day. And I would say on average, I probably walk 6 mornings out of 7. But it really benefits me. It sets me up. It clears my mind. It's great to get outside. If it's sunny, all the better. But even if it's not, it just gives you that connection. You hear the birds. It's wonderful. And I have found more and more that meditating is just so beneficial. And again, that's something I like to do first thing. But if I can't, I don't go, oh dear, I haven't been able to meditate this morning, so I can't do it. I fit it in later on, and it's still a benefit to me. But I would say that the walking and the meditating, my ideal morning, there's walking, meditation, and then maybe coffee.
Coffee smells so good.
Yeah,
that's the truth of the matter. I had a friend stay at the weekend, and oh, it's just lovely. And we went for, there's this gorgeous cafe by the sea here in Dorset, and we sat there outside with our coffees. And it's very, very nice. It's a very nice thing, I think. Coffee is a very nice thing. But yeah, meditation and walking, I think, I don't know about you, but you know, walking is, I just think it, well, it's just as important as something like Pilates. It's like, you know, everyone can at least go for a walk, you know.
I love walking because it is so accessible, and you can do it just about anywhere. I mean, it's much more pleasant to walk in a forest or somewhere rural or by the sea than it is to necessarily walk in an urban city center, but you can do it. So it's an exercise you can take with you anywhere. And it doesn't matter, you know, how fast you walk or how fit you are, pretty much, unless someone is unfortunately unable to, pretty much anyone can do that and can really reap the benefits of that. And it doesn't necessarily cost you anything either, because aside from a good pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in my morning walks, I literally go around the block. So I'm not walking right by the sea or right in the beautiful woods or anything. How it is a beautiful area though. So I can't, the lots of trees and the birds are singing. But you know, that's another thing, you know, some people think they've got to go a long way, or, and you know, you can make it shorter, and you know, it's still be really, you know, sort of beneficial, which is obviously a really, really good thing. Now we're going to do a very nice meditation in today's podcast, which we're going to go to in a little bit. But before we go to the rest meditation today, we're going to pick a positive affirmation card for the blog today from my deck of happy and calm cards. So I know which affirmations are coming up on the meditation, so I've already picked them. I've got 3 coming up. But we're going to have a little chat about what comes up today. So one of the fun ways of using the cards is to, you can just shuffle them and then fan them out. But today I feel it'd be nice to slide the cards. So I'm just going to slide the cards and then see which best card for the podcast today. This one is jumping out. So you can either just enjoy it for yourself, or we can, when you're with someone else, we can talk about what it means to you. So when you're listening, I want you to really have a good think about this. But April's going to share what it means to her first, then I will. And then you at home, it's your turn. or you can comment wherever we post it. So it is, I love setting goals. I love to think, write, or draw my goals.
That is such a good card. I do love setting goals. I love having something to aim towards. I think it inspires and motivates me. I think it's very important that we look on our goals as a positive thing, not something, you know, not a stick to beat ourselves with, but as something to aim towards and really encourage ourselves to accomplish. I do like to write down my goals. I love a list. I love to be able to write this a goal and then sort of write the stages that I'm going to go through to get to that goal and be able to tick them off. That was the perfect card for me, actually, Beth.
Yeah. So the thing I love about goals is they can be personal ones and they can be work ones. And when I'm teaching mindfulness Pilates, whether it's one-to-one program clients or my classes, I always get my clients, whilst they're doing stretches, they might be in a hamstring stretch, I actually get them to breathe, relax, once they're in the perfect alignment and position, to daydream and to visualize their personal small or big goal, or it can be obviously a worky one too, but a lot of people need to switch off when they're doing their Pilates a bit more. I often get them setting personal goals, which is really nice. And I find actually stretching, it takes it to another level. What breathing, relaxing, or meditating with a goal is really nice too. What it means to me today, I really went for it on yesterday. I really, at the weekend, really went for it with the goal setting. I was doing a bit of feng shui in the house and, I was really going for it with the goals. I've even got goals underneath things like the fruit bowl, all over the place which area of the house is that? In the airing cupboards, I've got them stuck up in there all over the place, but they're often a bit hidden, yet I know they're there. But like you say, it has to be practical, you've got to take action. So that's what it means to me today. So for you listening right now, have a really good think about what the goal setting one means to you today. And you can also journal for 1 minute. You can always set an alarm, get a note pad and pen and journal about what that means to you if you want to go a bit deeper. And then if there are any, as we've chatted about here, any action steps to take, you can write those down. So that is today's little affirmation of the day. So we're going to go into the meditation next, and today it is the rest meditation. Enjoy. So welcome to the rest relaxation meditation. Just get yourself really comfortable, ready to rest, recharge your batteries. You can do this sitting or lying down, cozy in bed, lying on your favorite blanket or favorite mat, or perhaps in a comfy chair you choose, whichever is comfortable for you, and close your eyes. You're going to breathe and relax. And the breathing is going to be the natural rhythm of your own breath. Simply breathing naturally in and out through your nose at your own pace. Let your tummy rise and fall as you breathe and relax, taking time to rest and recharge your batteries. With the beautiful affirmation, I am relaxed. Breathe and relax. Relaxing more and more in each out-breath as you keep this breathing going, and you discover as your breathing slows down and becomes calmer and more peaceful and relaxed, how amazing and powerful a beautiful tool it is that your own rhythm of your own breath is. It's incredibly relaxing as you breathe and relax, saying the affirmation to yourself, well done. I did really well at something today, as you breathe and relax another 5 times. In and out through your nose as you relax. And breathe and relax, and keep this beautiful breathing going. With the next affirmation, I am peaceful
all is calm and well. I am at peace within as you breathe and relax there. In through the nose and out through your nose, relax. Being gentle with yourself. Taking time for you to be gentle with yourself is an amazing thing that you can do any time you like. Treat yourself to this every single day of being gentle with yourself. You deserve it. It's the most beautiful self-care, self-love thing to do. Breathe and relax. There are so many different beautiful ways you can do this in your life. Right here, right now, it's that beautiful chance to rest, heal, regenerate, recharge your batteries, and be gentle with yourself. Sending you lots and lots of love.
So I really hope you enjoyed today's meditation. I hope it's been rejuvenative. And you know, the thing is, a meditation, you can be cozy in bed, you can be on your favorite cozy chair, you can be with a blanket, without a blanket, you can be on your favorite Pilates mat, you can be lying on a cozy blanket, you can have a nice cozy cushion behind your head, you can bring essential oils in, however it is for you. You know, when it's a bit longer, it's nice to lie down. Some people like to sit, it's a nice time to just sort of switch off, really. So yeah, so April, thank you so much for coming on today's podcast with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Bev, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my blog with my readers and my journey with your readers and sorry, your listeners, and also my journey. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, and what is your website called? I love it.
So you can find me at www.apriljharris.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest at April J. Harris. And I'm on Facebook as well. That's still as the 21st Century Housewife, but if you tag at April J. Harris, I generally come up.
Yeah, that's lovely. Everything will be going in the show notes today for you anyway. And please comment and share if you really enjoyed today's podcast. And definitely head over to April's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful blog. And I'm really lucky to have met April at Business Networking. So I'm really grateful for that. And April, have you got like parting words today? To help and inspire on people's journey, really.
I think the most important thing is to always feel that, you know, there's so much growth that's possible, and we need to be gentle with ourselves as we do that. So to take things, whether you're looking for inspiration from a blog or from a podcast, to take that as encouraging inspiration. And a bit like I said earlier, not to use things as a way of, you know, listening to your negative voice and letting it be a stick to beat yourself with, but rather being something to inspire and encourage, and being gentle with yourself and realizing that step by step, we really can achieve anything if we just put our minds to it and are gentle and work forward.
Beautiful words. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Beth.
So we're back for an extra question. And the question is, we're having a really good chit chat afterwards. And we started talking for some reason. Oh, it was a really good reason. But we started to talk about perfection and how things on the surface, when you look at stuff like apriljharris.com's amazing blog and April's social media, and everything looks perfect. And yeah, life is going really well. But, you know, there are ups and downs. So April, what did you kind of want to say about, you know, the look of perfection? Do you obviously have a professional photographer, you have a whole team around you, everything from, you know, amazing stylist to photographer and all of that. But we were kind of talking about perfection and resilience, which we thought we'd just share with you, a little sneak peek behind the scenes, which is now for you as well.
I think the thing that's really important, and I'm so glad this came up, is to realize that, you know, it's an aspirational thing to sort of show that this is how the recipe turned out. But you've got to remember, some of the recipes I may have tested 3 and 4 times to get them perfect, or not perfect, but as close to perfect as they can be. So you don't have to be everything to everyone. You don't have to be exactly perfect. As you say, when I'm photographed, I generally have people who've, you know, done my makeup or who are taking the picture. The spontaneous photographs on my social media are just that, spontaneous. But no, I mean, things don't always go perfectly, and we need to be kind and gentle with ourselves to realize that, you know, not everyone has it together every day. We only, you know, we might have it together once in a while if we're lucky. And I think for me, it's so important to share that, you know, you want people to feel encouraged and inspired, but equally you want them to feel supported and to realize that, you know, there is no such thing as somebody who has the perfect life. It's more important to just enjoy where you are and really get the most out of that, and really be kind to yourself. Because without that, I think it was Lucille Ball said that if you don't love yourself, you're just never going to get anywhere. So it's really important to have that kindness and that gentle spirit when you're dealing with yourself.
Thank you so much, April.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access my free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes on my website. You can also book your reduced back pain to feel good one-to-one mindfulness Pilates program on Zoom or mindfulness Pilates membership by going to mindfulnesspilates.com.